Good day, everyone. Let us pray. O God, open our hearts and minds. Open deep and tender within us compassion that we may be stirred to serve the world. In Christ's name, amen. So, if you can't guess, today's sermon is about compassion, because the readings really do center around that. There is Jesus alive and at work feeding thousands of people with his disciples. We see Jacob wrestling and in the midst of crying out for blessing, then being blessed as an act of compassion. And we hear Paul in Romans stirred with compassion for his own people. So let's focus on the gospel. This feeding of 5,000, well, men, so it's probably more like 15,000 men, women, and children, comes in Matthew's gospel just after another feast in a palace. The feasting at Herod's palace that resulted in the killing of John the Baptist. This party emerges on the beach from generous outpouring of seeking and welcoming and finding and embracing and inviting, people flooding to Jesus and Jesus offering of himself, and everyone then coming together to feed. All happening on the heels of the murder of John the Baptist at a party in a palace full of boasting and besting and machismo and manipulation and lust and entrapment and face-saving that resulted in literally taking off another person's face and head. Jesus is stirred powerfully by John's murder by Herod. So he seeks solace in retreat, to pray and to be alone, to sift through the pain and anguish. But people are hungry for what they've found with him. They follow, even on foot, around the shore, as he sails to a secluded spot. They're spotting him and watching where he's going to land and forging a path to get to him. And they collect people along the way, hungry as well, but not aware until now of how hungry they are. And when he gets to shore, there they are. Maybe this is God the Father's answer to Jesus's anguish, pain, and deep prayer at the injustice and cruelty he has just learned of as it took the life of his second cousin, John. It's as if God is saying, "See, dear son, there are so many who carry sorrow and pain, anxiety and uncertainty, brokenness in body and in spirit. And so Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is stirred with compassion and pulled toward all the people by compassion. Compassion is feeling and suffering with, being stirred along with. That's its Latin roots. Now, its Greek counterpart as a word in the New Testament means being moved from deep in our guts. Our heart, it's often translated, but in the Old King James Version, it was the bowels of our being, our deepest and tenderest parts. This specific word for compassion is a word used about Jesus or in Jesus' own teachings in many places in the Gospel. In the Gospels, all of them, especially here in the stories of the feeding of thousands of people, but also in these close and personal ways, like when Jesus met a woman grieving and weeping because her only son had just died. And in his teaching about the Samaritan who found the wounded man on the side of the road. And in his teaching about the father who saw from a distance the wayward son returning in rags. In all of these, the pattern's the same. First, one is moved and stirred with compassion toward others, and one is tugged toward others with deep care. And that deep care moves one quickly into action. Here at the seaside, Jesus sees thousands of people who followed him, who have been eager to approach him with their hopes and yearnings. And he wells up with compassion toward them and is drawn toward them with deep care. And he leaps into action, curing them of their sicknesses and illnesses. We've heard the witnesses of medical heroes these days who have stepped into the storm of this coronavirus pandemic, who day after day put on masks and protective clothes to care for and attempt to cure those who have been taken down terribly by the virus. We've heard how they've wrestled with the weight of their decisions as it's meant isolation from their families. And we've heard how they have explained to their families, their children, how they feel called and compelled to continue leaping into action. Because it's their calling. And their calling comes right straight out of their compassion. The stirring of care in their deepest, tenderest parts for others. If you want to taste the kingdom of God, it is this. It's the stirring wave of compassion for others that rises behind you and around you like a great ocean wave. And you kick forward and give yourself to that wave and ride the wave so that it takes you where you're being pulled to, toward others, with others, giving and sharing all you can with others. Now, you can glimpse the kingdom of God by watching and seeing others doing just this. So the disciples watch and take in how Jesus responds. Even in his own sorrow about John the Baptist's murder, even when he wanted to run and be away on his own. Then as the day moves on, they offer an observation. Jesus, it is late in the day and these people are no doubt hungry. Now, there's a bit of empathy and concern in what they say. Maybe it's that they themselves are hungry too, and so they figure other people are. But there is a bit of concern and care for others in this. So observing and watching can give us a glimpse and awaken a spark of concern. But the disciples aren't really truly fully seeing as people who themselves are part of the story. They're detached. So they're observers. They're not yet actors. So they only know how to observe and then suggest something that doesn't require them to do something. Send them away so that they can get themselves some food. How often are our prayers like this? How often are our responses to people like this? How may our political views and ideas be shaped by this kind of thinking? Let them go find jobs for themselves, something meaningful to do. Let them go to the unemployment office to get funds to survive and pay their bills. Shouldn't their families step in and help them? Where are the government-funded workers to help them? We problem-solve their immediate situation away from us, throwing responsibility away from us like a hot potato. You know, the old game of hot potato where you try to get the thing that's being thrown at you away from you to someone else, so that it lands with someone else before the buzzer goes off. The disciples have observed and diagnosed correctly what they've seen, and they've chosen to look for solutions elsewhere. But Jesus opens a completely different door. You give them something to eat. You do what you can. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 15,000 people. Ready? Go! This is a shift from simply descriptive thinking to prescription. Beyond, this is what is happening, something should be done about it, to, let's see what we can do right now here about this. Let's go. It's a movement of the will, of the heart, straight from the guts that gets our legs and arms and feet and hands moving with purpose. Now, none of this would have happened if people had not drawn near to each other. People sought and followed Jesus, and they were waiting to meet him. Jesus didn't send them away. Jesus was stirred in his deepest inner self with feelings about their realities, their lives, their sufferings, their experiences. He opened himself to them in heart and mind, and he opened himself in action. Jesus then invited the disciples to follow the same path, to open themselves to what they had to share, and to open themselves from what they had to share, even if it was small. And the disciples opened themselves to the possibility of God's movement and power, and they opened themselves in compassion and action for the many, many people around them. You give them something to eat. You. Open yourself. Ride this wave. Here it is now. So what is the great suffering we're seeing today in the world around us, here in North Idaho and the Inland Northwest? What is the deep stuff we're sensing in people's lives across our nation? What have we observed? Well, there's suspicion, anger, fear, defensive hostility. Why? What is it that is deep, the deep thing going on in people? What are we saying to God in our prayers as we pray for people in our society, our nation, our families, our neighbors, our towns? What is it that we have sensed? They're feeling unheard. Let them go find a place where they are heard and respected. They're feeling blamed and shamed. Let them find a place where they are honored with full dignity for who they are. They are wounded and scarred from years, decades, centuries of abuse and neglect. Let them find places of healing, of full welcome, of respect, of space without barriers to thrive. And we can imagine it. So now what does Jesus say to us? You give them these things. You give them these things. You listen and give them respect. You raise their heads. You make good space for them to thrive. They are us. Every single one, a Jacob wrestling with angels and demons and God. Every single one in the wilderness, arriving alone. Every single one dreading something ahead. Every single one carrying the weight of the past. Wrestling, not ready to let go, crying out for a blessing. Thousands of Jacobs are seeking and looking. They are here at the shoreline, here in the hills, here in the towns and cities, and there, alone, across the river, alone, the Jacob apart from others, facing things inside in the dark. And Jesus saw and had compassion. We see. Jesus says to us, it's your turn. You see. Now, what do you have to give? Ride the wave. Let compassion guide your steps and propel you into action. Go. Amen.